Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We just heard from Dr. Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. Coming up at 11:30, we have Gary Johnson, the Libertarian Party candidate for president. Now we continue our 30 issues election series. We're up to issue 22, and it's what's so good or bad about school choice, and is it a civil rights issue? When the New York City Schools Chancellor, Carmen Farina, was here on Tuesday, I asked her if many more parents are entering their kids in charter school lotteries than there are seats for them, and the charter schools are asking to expand, why not include as many of those kinds of schools as families want to go to? And she wasn't ready to commit to that. For decades, where people stand on the issue of school choice has broken down along liberal and conservative lines and along union and anti-union lines. It also divides poor people of color. There are generally two models of school choice. There's vouchers usable for private schools, ones that would be universally available, and those targeted for low-income families, specifically as President Ronald Reagan argued for in 1983.
We will continue our firm commitment to support the education efforts of state and local governments, but the focus of our agenda is, as it must be, to restore parental choice and influence and to increase competition between schools. We've sent to the Congress a tuition tax credit plan and proposed a voucher system to help low- and middle-income families afford the schools of their choice.
Reagan in 83. In those days, the desire of religious schools to get public funding through vouchers was a bigger part of the debate than it is today. That's one reason that televangelist Pat Robertson tied the school choice issue to the reproductive choice issue when he ran for president in 1992.
Here's what Bill Clinton wants for America. He told People magazine that he wouldn't let his 13-year-old daughter get her ears pierced. But he wants to give your 13-year-old daughter the choice without your consent to destroy the life of her unborn baby. Yet he is opposed to giving 30-year-old mothers a real choice in where to send their 13-year-old daughters to school.
Reverend Pat Robertson in 1992, which turns out to be a pivotal year in the history of school choice. The first charter school opened that year, and Bill Clinton was elected president that year. And Clinton's way of triangulating on the issue was to reject vouchers but embrace public school choice, as in the presidential debate against George H.W. Bush on October 15, 1992.
In five, I would have an aggressive program of school reform. More choices in the I favor public schools or these new charter schools. We can talk about that if you want. I don't think we should spend tax money on private schools, but I favor public school choice, and I favor radical decentralization and giving more power to better trained principals and teachers with parent councils to control their schools. Those things would revolutionize American education and take us to the top economically.
These new charter schools, Bill Clinton in 1992. Hillary Clinton endorsed public school choice as First Lady in 1996.
That there are critical elements that parents and teachers have to do for themselves, but they have to be given the tools. There should be more public school choice so that parents can choose the public schools and the good public schools survive and flourish and the others have to change their ways. That's the way it should operate.
So Bill and Hillary Clinton for public school choice. Now, we could argue that the political tack that they took really did marginalize the private school vouchers movement. Charters are privately run, but they are public schools and need to be approved by public school authorities. But they didn't make the issue of vouchers disappear right away or entirely. Religious school and other private school vouchers was an issue in the Bush versus Gore presidential race in 2000.
Yeah, we have a huge difference between us on this question. I'd like to start by telling you what my vision is. I see a day in the United States of America where all of our public schools are considered excellent, world class. where there are no failing schools, where the classrooms are small enough in size, number of students, so that the teacher can spend enough one-on-one time with each student.
Al Gore in a PBS debate against Bush, moderated by Jim Lehrer, no relation. Gore continued.
Governor Bush is for vouchers. And in his plan, he proposes to drain more money, more taxpayer money out of the public schools for private school vouchers than all of the money that he proposes in his entire budget for public schools themselves. And only 1 in 20 students would be eligible for these vouchers. And they wouldn't even pay the full tuition to private school. I think that's a mistake. I don't think we should give up on the private schools and leave kids trapped in failing schools. I think we should make it the number one priority to make our schools the best in the world, all of them.
Governor, what is your position on that?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think anytime we end with one of these attacks, it's appropriate to respond. Here's what I think. First of all, vouchers are up to states. If you want to do a voucher program in Missouri, fine. See, I strongly believe in local control of schools. I'm a governor of a state, and I don't like it when the federal government tells us what to do. I believe in local control of schools, but here's what I've said. I've said to the extent we spend federal money on disadvantaged children, we want the schools to show us whether or not the children are learning. What's unreasonable about that? We expect there to be standards met, and we expect there to be measurement. And if we find success, we'll praise it. But when we find children trapped in schools that will not change and will not teach, instead of saying, oh, this is okay in America just to shuffle poor kids through schools, there has to be a consequence. And the consequence is that federal portion of federal money will go to the parent. So the parent can go to a tutoring program or another public school or another private or a private school. You see, there has to be a consequence. We've got a society that says, hey, the status quo is fine. Just move them through. And guess who suffers?
There has to be a consequence, George W. Bush in 2000, and that became a central idea in Bush's No Child Left Behind law. If a public school failed its kids and an effort was made to improve the school and the effort failed, one consequence could be that the families are given vouchers, as he said there, so they're not trapped in a failing school. It was in the No Child law, but massive voucherization as a punishment did not really take place. When Bush was elected, No Child became a bipartisan effort to improve education. The Senate passed it 91-8, including the yes vote of New York's new senator, Hillary Clinton, in her first months in office. In 1996, Senator Clinton disparaged the notion of religious school vouchers by raising the specter of a school of jihad.
Suppose you were meeting today to decide who got the vouchers. First parent who comes says, I want to send my daughter to St. Peter's Roman Catholic School. And you say, great, wonderful school. Here's your voucher. Next parent who comes says, I want to send, you know, my child to the Jewish day school. Great, here's your voucher. Next parent who comes says, I want to send my child to the private school that I've always dreamed of sending my child to. Fine, here's your voucher. Next parent who comes says, I want to send my child to the school of the Church of the White Supremacist. You say, wait a minute. You can't send, we're not giving you a voucher for that. And the parent says, well, the way I read Genesis, Cain was marked. Therefore, I believe in white supremacy. And therefore, you gave it to a Catholic parent, you gave it to a Jewish parent, you gave it to a secular private school parent. Under the Constitution, you can't discriminate against me. Suppose the next parent comes and says, I want to send my child to the school of the jihad. Wait a minute, we're not going to send a child with taxpayer dollars to the school of the jihad. Well, you gave it to the Catholics, you gave it to the Jews, you gave it to the private secular people. You're going to tell me I can't? I'm a taxpayer under the Constitution. Now, tell me how we're going to make those choices.
No school of white supremacy, no school of jihad. Senator Hillary Clinton, I misstated the year before the clip. That was 2006 when she was a senator. So the school of jihad was one kind of bogeyman. For politicians on the right, the villains in the school choice debate are the teachers' unions. Here's Ted Cruz on Glenn Beck's radio show last year.
You know, the Democrats are essentially bought and paid for by the union bosses and the teachers' union, so they will always oppose school choice. I believe every child in America regardless of race or ethnicity or wealth or zip code, has a right to a quality education. And school choice is about giving low-income kids the same ability to choose an excellent school that the rich and middle class have always had.
Ted Cruz last year. Hillary Clinton's position of being against vouchers but for public school choice doesn't always go over with the unions, by the way. Charters can function outside of teachers' union contracts. So listen to the reaction by teachers during a Clinton campaign speech before the Teachers Union National Education Association conference in July in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It is time to stop focusing only on, quote, failing schools. Let's focus on all our great schools too. Let's replicate their success everywhere across America. And when schools get it right, whether they're traditional public schools or public charter schools, let's figure out what's working. Now, let's figure out what's working and share it with schools across America. We can do that. We've got no time for all these education wars where people on the outside try to foist for-profit schools on our kids. We will never stand for that. That is not acceptable.
So Clinton going before a teachers' union audience in July and getting booed for supporting charter schools, even while speaking out against privatization of schools there, of for-profit schools. One former Catholic school teacher who often argues for vouchers is the Fox News host Bill O'Reilly. Listen to him arguing for them as a civil rights issue when President Obama was brave enough to go on his show in 2014.
Now, school vouchers is a way to level the playing field. Why do you oppose school vouchers when it would give poor people a chance to go to better schools?
Every study that's been done on school vouchers, Bill, says that it has very limited impact, if any.
Try it.
It has been tried. It's been tried in Milwaukee. It's been tried right here in D.C.
And it worked here.
No, actually it didn't. When you end up taking a look at it, it didn't actually make that much of a difference. So what we have been supportive of is something called charters, which within the public school system gives the opportunity for creative experiments by teachers, by principals, to start schools that have a different approach. And
you wouldn't revisit that? I used to be teaching a Catholic school, and I just know that
I've taken a look at it. As a general proposition, vouchers has not significantly improved the performance of kids that are in these poorest communities.
Obama on O'Reilly in 2014, school choice as a civil rights issue. And it remains a rallying cry of the choice movement today, both for charter schools and private school vouchers. And in fact, in Donald Trump's recent speeches, asking black voters to take a chance on him, because what have you got to lose? The only specific policy he really ever mentions is school choice.
On education, so important. We are going to give students choice and allow charter schools to thrive. We are going to end tenure policies that reward bad teachers and hurt our great good teachers. My opponent wants to deny students choice and opportunity, all to get a little bit more money from the education bureaucracy. She doesn't care how many young dreams are dashed or destroyed, and they're destroyed. Young people are destroyed before they even start. We are going to work closely with African American parents and children. We are going to work with the parents' students. We are going to work with everybody in the African-American community, in the inner cities. And what a big difference that is going to make.
That was Trump in Charlotte last month. And just yesterday, he gave an education speech in which he proposed a $20 billion federal fund in which the money would go to whatever school a student chose, public or private. So that's some audio history and current campaign clips on School Choice, Issue 22 in our 30 Issues election series. With me now is Liz Willen, editor-in-chief of the Hechinger Report, a nonprofit news organization covering innovation and inequality in education. Liz covered New York City schools during her decade at Newsday and education around the country for Bloomberg News. She's also maintained a blog for nearly 10 years about school choice as a New York City public school parent. Hi, Liz. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, great to be here. It was so funny having you bring up Ronald Reagan. I went back and listened to some of his speeches, and, you know, Trump really has a lot in common with Ronald Reagan. He, too, wanted to abolish the Department of Education. Reagan had complained the parents were reduced to roles of outsiders. One difference is that he was very big on calling for God. He had said that God, the source of all knowledge, was expelled from the classroom. But they had that in common. It was interesting that Trump spoke about this yesterday because we've all sort of been waiting for him to articulate where is he going on education. He's talked in very broad strokes. He was not specific yesterday about how he wants to accomplish school choice or really how it's going to be paid for. And he chose to make his speech at a for-profit charter school in Cleveland. And so it's a very interesting backdrop. The Cleveland Arts and Social Sciences Academy is also a failing school. So a lot of dichotomies in his speech yesterday.
So do you think promotion of religion and religious organizations looking for ways to break the wall of separation from state was at the heart of this originally, like trying to shoehorn it into public funding of religion because vouchers don't go to the religious institutions per se. They go to the parents who can then use them anywhere, including religious schools?
It may have been originally, but I don't think you can give Trump that much credit on this. I don't think this is a very well thought out proposal that he articulated yesterday. And I feel like by lacking the specificity about how he's going to pay for this and how it's going to get done is a real problem. I think Reagan might have thought that originally, and it's been hijacked along the way. But right now, it looked like, as you said, Trump has told black parents, you've got nothing to lose, black voters. It may be a way to try and win them back. However, I don't think in this case they're going to be going for it.
So how much do you think the public school choice movement generally charters, but the public school choice movement, as we heard articulated by both Clintons in the 90s, was a way for Democrats to support the expansion of individual choice but protect separation of church and state?
That definitely played into it, and this is a theme that both parties have harped upon. But what you have to keep in mind when you're talking about school choice, and this is really important because I've been looking at the research on it, really what people who are voting about the, who are voting on this issue and thinking about education want to know is, does it work? And I think there's just so many misconceptions about how school choice works. So I looked at the research. Now, let's talk about this. In a perfect world, school choice is supposed to allow families to leave bad schools. You keep hearing Republicans and Democrats talk about children being trapped in failing schools and enroll their children in better ones. And then the failing schools close or improve enough. Competition. They're talking about competition. But for that to happen, and I've noticed this here, of course, here in New York where I've lived it, parents need a lot of information to figure out what schools are good and which ones are not. That is a huge amount of work. And recent studies out of Chicago found that over several years, publicizing information about school quality definitely influenced where families enrolled their children. But they also found that many families did pull their children out of failing schools. And where did they end up? At schools that were equally bad or only slightly better. So I think we have to think about what the research says here and not just listen to the rhetoric, because you're going to hear a lot of that.
And where did the charter schools first come from? We heard Bill Clinton refer to these new things, charter schools, in 1992, which I read was the first year that there was such a thing as a charter school. Now unions and Mayor de Blasio and others see it as a way for the privatization movement that vouchers were associated with to get their hooks into the public school, since the private school voucher movement did not catch on as widely as they had hoped. Is that a fair or unfair description of the origin of charter schools?
I don't think it's a fair description, because one of the problems with when you're talking about charter schools, I'm often asked, are charter schools good or bad? And at the Hechinger Report, we visit schools across the country and spend a lot of time in them to see if they work. There are good charter schools. There are bad charter schools. There are charter schools that started out for really great ideological and philosophical reasons. And there are others that New Orleans sprung up that probably had no right to be letting children into them because they weren't ready and they weren't prepared. So one of the problems with the charter school discussion, and it also happens here in New York, it just gets really confused about whether they're good, whether they're bad, who started them, who runs them, and what the political and philosophical thinking was behind them.
On choice as a civil rights issue, we heard Reagan invoke the idea. We heard Trump invoke the idea. We heard Bill O'Reilly invoke the idea to President Obama. How divided do the polls show Black and Latino Americans are on the issue, and for that matter, all poor people as a class issue?
Well, it's a huge issue, as Trump is trying to bring in this population to be empathetic to his views. I'm going to refer you to a column today by our columnist Andre Perry at the Hechinger Report, who is saying, I don't think Black families are buying what they're selling. Trump forgot the detail that schools often do the choosing, even among public schools, which obviously limits families' choices. And he points out that the most selective privates in eligible cities across the country don't participate in voucher programs. So I think you're going to see instead that students are left with a lot of mediocre and not great options. And I feel like the voters should be sophisticated enough to recognize this.
Do you think Democrats have an option for parents in low-income urban areas with bad neighborhood schools? Do they offer an option? If they're against those, I mean, a lot of Democrats are for charters, and we should mention that in the political context. Hillary Clinton, very clear about that, even to the NEA in
That's
July.
That's correct. She did, and got some criticism for that.
We heard her get booed in that clip. Governor Cuomo, very big advocate for charter schools, even while Mayor de Blasio is not. So it divides the Democratic Party.
It divides everybody, and I think that's because the reasons behind it are complex. But I'm going to throw in a little context that I heard about today that I think really sheds important light on this conversation, so we're not just talking pro-charters, anti-charters. This came today from a Connecticut judge, Thomas Makauscher, of State Superior Court in Hartford. He was ruling on a fiscal equity case, which means trying to equalize school spending in Connecticut, which is a state that has probably the largest achievement gap in the country between rich and poor. And he noted that a third of the students in many of the state's poorest Black communities cannot read at basic levels, complained that solutions should not just be about another task force, which often happens, and, you know, said we really need to recognize that stubborn achievement gaps exist, and there's, quote, too much debate about schools seems completely disconnected to the teaching of children. The system is broken. And so that's why I think we do a disservice when we cut the debate as, should we have charter schools, should we not have charter schools? We need to realize that NAEP scores in this country show that some 46% of white fourth graders in the U.S. read at or about proficient, compared with 19% of Black fourth graders. So we have this huge achievement gap, and it's not as if having charter schools or not having charter schools is going to solve it. And we also have to remember that property taxes fund the bulk of how schools are run locally, and that schools in wealthy communities are going to continue to get kids the resources they need to achieve at the levels that they expect and that they buy homes into these communities for.
Liz Whelan, editor-in-chief of the Hechinger Report, a nonprofit news organization covering innovation and inequality in education. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Liz Whelan putting our school choice issue into journalistic context. And that's our 30 Issues election series. Issue 22, what's so good or bad about school choice? Next week, issue 23, white supremacy. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we have the Libertarian Party candidate for president, Gary Johnson. Stay with us.